Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Guys, welcome back to
the podcast. Excited.
Pretty much, I know. I'm sorry, it's a vibe. So, yes. Welcome back, everybody. This week we have on the man of the hour,
most requested person of Wilmington, North Carolina, and I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not building you up. Man. It's just the truth.
Yes, it's so funny because everybody's like, "Hey, do you know TJ?" I was like, "Well, yes, I know of TJ. I don't hang out with him, unfortunately."
Oh, we can hang out.
I know. I'm literally like a small, I go home, I go to work. I really don't leave except to come here.
All right. I can't take the blame for that one, though.
That's not on me. Yeah, you don't come out. It's no longer on you.
But you guys, this is TJ Dunn. TJ,
what's up?
Welcome to the podcast.
I appreciate it, Chris. Enjoy being here. It's an honor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And TJ was gracious enough to bring his own favorite whiskey onto the podcast today.
Yeah. You know, I feel like if I'm honored and blessed to be here, I just want to bring something to the table and add some value to it. I brought the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof. It's one of my favorites. As I was telling you guys, it's I drink a lot of bourbon. I love bourbon.
Yeah.
Like, I pretty much drink water, bourbon, and coffee.
Yep.
And this one I got is about 136 proof. So I like it because it slows me down. You sip on it and you got to sip it slow.
Yeah.
You feel it. It's just, you know, whenever I drink it, I'm just kind of in the moment. I'm not drinking it just to drink it. I'm like, there's something special. You need to chill out.
Right.
Take the moment in, enjoy the company, turn off the phone, put your thumbs away. Yeah.
No, this one is nice. Apparently we found this out. Barrel proof. This batch actually ranges anywhere from 128 all the way to 142 proof. So you can definitely feel a little bit more than some of the other stuff we've tried in here. It's interesting because there are some caramel and butterscotch along with the black pepper and cinnamon that you'll kind of taste, which I can kind of feel that a little heat on the back end. But yeah, nice, super classic. And one of these days we'll go over and explain the difference between barrel proof and single batch and all that.
Keep your eyes on Instagram. I'll probably eventually post about it.
You go for that. I'll just drink it.
Yeah.
Take your word for it.
Yeah, what do you say? Sure, whatever.
Pour me another.
Cheers. Well, thanks for coming on. Cheers.
I know. Did we actually do you guys can't see, but we're dodging microphones.
Yeah. You're so right. You get the true flavor of it, but you do have to kind of slow down to drink it.
I mean, so, I can feel it coat my chest. It's right. Like, it works its way down, but like slow and smooth. And yeah, I'm not running through that.
Right. Yeah.
It's definitely a different taste than what we've had. Cause even like a small sip, you can feel it like floating around in your mouth, like the vapors and the aroma. Yeah. I kind of taste everything.
I feel right. Like when it hits my tongue, it just starts to expand, like covers you, like, I don't know, visually, like, watching was it like Venom, like how it just takes over them. Like when I sip this, it just starts taking over my tongue, working way down the throat. You just feel it working in you. I love it. Love it.
That's actually a really great analogy for it. That's kind of what I
still want to scare people away from. That's why that's the only reason I was thinking. I was like, the good Venom, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Don't think of it the scary way, but just like just slowly taking over the body, kind of feeling it go through you. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So good.
I appreciate it bringing it on.
No problem. Thank you guys for indulging me, sharing it.
Absolutely.
Ain't no fun. The homies can't have none.
Yeah. So we brought on Catherine Bruner a couple weeks ago. And
Catherine.
Yeah. And we always ask, who should we bring on next? And you're TJ. Catherine said, you should bring on TJ. And I was like, what should we talk to TJ about? I met you in passing before with Thaddeus, another gentleman that we brought on the podcast.
Man. I love him.
Oh, man. He
keeps the women's team clean.
Yeah, man. He amazing. I could talk about him for hours. But anyway, Catherine, she was like, when you bring him on, talk about the goats. So let's talk about the goats.
Let's talk about them, man. They're my little goons, as I call them. I got Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I've been sitting on those names for like 12 years. Like, literally. Because, I had some friends. I had a friend in college, man. Her parents had this cool cabin, like, in the woods. And they just had these goats roaming around. I mean, you just sit there, and they do their own thing. Like, I mean, they're coming up to you for food. But other than that, they're headbutting each other, jumping off stuff. Man, bad, all that stuff. I mean, it's just a blast. So, like, actually, when I bought my house in, when we get, like, 2018, I immediately put up a goat fence because I was like, I hate cutting grass. I'll eventually get goats. Never got them until COVID happened. I was like, woman, I'm finally getting these goats. She's like, all right, if you want to. I don't really like them. You know, I don't know what they're going to do. But, I mean, as soon as we got them, man, we built them a playground. They got their own little shack with their Bebop and Rocksteady poster.
Oh, yeah.
And got a seesaw. I mean, it's just entertainment. I mean, one of the cool things is going out, like, in a nice evening, sipping a glass of bourbon, just watch them do their thing. They're just hopping around, helping edge the grass. So, you know, you get a little bit of work out of them, you know.
Right.
And I hear that their poop's really good for fertilizer. So if somebody wants some, we got tons of it.
I believe it.
So my parents just bought about 50, 60 acres out in Supply, North Carolina. They were talking about buying some goats too. So what would you tell my parents for buying goats?
I mean, if you care about it, don't put them near it. Like, I mean, like, if you want them just to, if you got a big lot for them just to eat grass and eat stuff. Like, I mean, the only downside is like, I want to plant like some bamboo in my backyard or plant some rosemary. I'm like, nope, that's food for goats. I mean, they're going to eat anything green. And, you know, but that's the cool thing about them. You know, like, people who own a pack of goats, they'll put them on people's lands just to like, actually to till up all the debris and stuff like that. Cause they'll go through it. You do have to kind of pin them in. Cause you know, they're like on a buffet. They just eat, walk. So it's actually pretty funny. My wife and I, we'll take them for walks in the neighborhood on a leash and people passing by and they're like, hey, they wave. Then they slam on brakes. They're like, whoa, I thought that was a dog. Where you get those goats from? Is that real? Like, but like, they just walk and eat and they'll grab a plant. It reminds me of like playing Mario and like Yoshi, like you're just running through eating turtles and that's just what they do. So, I mean, you can like pin them in a certain area and have them just clear the land. So I just say, you know, just make sure that you don't want them, you don't have anything that you don't want them to destroy, and then just have a fence up because they are curious. They'll work their way out. I was actually told that they couldn't jump the 4-foot fence like that weekend we had them, man. One of them jumped and just started walking this little fence post and they're just walking it like a cat. And I'm like, and I'm freaking out, man, because I'm like, dude, I built this whole playground paradise for these. If he jumps on that other side of the fence, we are done. And like, my friends are just laughing at me like, TJ's gonna cry that goat runs away. And I was like, I am, because I was told he couldn't jump it. And then, man, luckily he jumped back in on the other side. And that next Sunday, like, me and my wife, we like extended the fence. Like, we spent all Sunday doing it. And like, we don't have kids, and you know, we actually missed church that day. And I was like, you know what, like, I really feel for those parents who miss church because their kids don't know how to act. I finally know what that's like. Right. You know, I couldn't go to church that Sunday because he's trying to keep these goats fenced in. So, but they're fun. They're a blast. And we got one more on the way. We got Shredder because you got to have that trifecta. So I'll have Bebop, Rocksteady, and Shredder, my goons from the Ninja Turtles. So pretty pumped.
I'm glad you bring that up too, because I just got a new protein shaker and it's the Turtles protein shaker. From Ghost. And so I bought that, and then I had a few people comment on it, and they're like, oh, I love the shaker. Like, you can't beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No. It's cool when like people know, like when I tell them like, well, what's the name of your ghost? I was like, Bebop and Rocksteady. They're like, oh yeah. When it just goes to their head, I'm like, well, it's still cool to me.
Yeah. I know what it means.
Yeah. I didn't meet one person. I always thought I had like the coolest name for goats.
Yeah.
And I met this one girl. She's like, yeah, I had goats when I was younger. I was like, yeah, but what were their names? And she was like, Kid and Play. I was like, oh, that's good.
That was good. All right.
Yeah, I was like, that was good. I'm not mad at myself, but, you know, that's, man, I'm a little jealous.
But then you get stuck because you're like, what do I name the others? Like, do I have to keep going with, like, with their friends or just keep naming off random people?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like why I'm going to stop at 3.
Yeah.
I mastered it, you know.
Right.
It was a good chick.
I think 3 is a good number before you're crazy. You know, it's like, it sounds judgmental, but it's like, you know, people with bumper stickers on the back of their car. Like, you got 3 after you go over 3. And my wife has more than 3. So I make fun of her too. So, I mean, forgive me if I hurt your feelings, but I've did it to my wife. I'm like, once you go over 3 bumper stickers, you're expressing a little bit too much. You know, right. Like, let's have a conversation about a few of the other things, you know.
True.
Why do you need this many stickers? Everywhere.
Everywhere.
So now that we got into the goats, so how did you get to Wilmington, North Carolina?
So I got to Wilmington, North Carolina in 2009. My wife and I, we had both pretty much graduated from college. Well, she graduated with her master's because she's super smart. She's a nuclear engineer. Had her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, master's in nuclear engineering at 22.
Shit.
And I'm like, and I'm, as meanwhile, it's taking me 5 years to get my bachelor's degree in business. But, you know, but hey, at least I know how to pick them. You know?
Yeah. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, and we actually been together since the 10th grade. So just kind of,
wow.
It's, yeah, it's been a long journey. But, you know, the economy went bad in 2009, and I'm such a city guy. I did not want to leave Atlanta, Georgia. I was like, man, I got my business degree. I want to see what I can become. We got music. We got fashion. We got sports. We got it all. And she's like, I want to move to the beach. And I'm like, man, no, hurricanes happen. I don't want to do that. But she had a good paying job, and I was like, I guess she wins.
Yeah.
Trumps everything, especially in 2009. I was like, man, she's got a good paying job, and I just got a dream. Hey, let's be real. Let's be real. So, yeah, we moved here in 2009.
That's awesome. So I'm glad you bring up fashion with Atlanta, Georgia, because in all of Wilmington, personally, I think you have the fashion.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, you're always looking 100% no matter where you go. Tell us where that kind of came from.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the first thing I could pinpoint as far as with fashion is just like, I have an older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you're the younger brother and you just see someone older than you, you want to be like them. So I think he was like a year and a half older than me, where it's like, you know, at that point he's wearing something a little bit nicer, 'cause that's what you do. You know, maybe he's trying to get a girl. And then I'm just like, I could be in my gym clothes, but he looks cool. I want to be like that. And there's always that as a kid, just me and him, like with shoes and stuff like that. But I just always just liked it. But that's kind of my first dabble into where I think I started liking to dress well.
Yeah.
And it just kept going and going. I remember like I got voted best dressed in high school, and just fashion to me, it's like, it's just a form of expression that I always have. I don't know if you guys know this, but actually in 2013, I actually started a fashion week here.
It's
the Wilmington Fashion Week. And how, the reason why I started that was because I actually had a job as a personal shopper. It's like, I love just looking good.
Oh, wow.
Like, what if I become like a personal trainer, but for fashion? And I was like, I labeled myself as a style consultant because I just wanted to share the passion I have for it, the fun, the creativity.
Yeah.
Because to me, every day I wake up, it's like that's some new little thing that I get to do that I care about, that brings me joy, that no matter what, no one's going to take that away, because I ain't walking out of the house naked, you know? So it's like, it's just always been something to me where like, I love making things just look cool, look different. I still have stuff from high school.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know when it's going to come back around. I have like a room that is mine instead of a guest bedroom. It's my closet.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
You get the other guest bedroom. The one of it's my closet, but I just love to just look around and just create. It's visually, like sometimes it's just in my head, like, oh, we're going there tonight, I'm gonna wear this, it might rain, oh, just in case, we're gonna wear a darker color because I want to have a wet t-shirt contest out there. You know, and my shoes are suede, so let's switch that out, we need something that's more accommodating to the rain. So it's just something I'm really passionate about, and it's just, but it's fun and it comes natural, where it's like someone's like, can you help me? I'm like, yeah. It's, which I think that's how we are with our gifts, man. When you have a gift that you're passionate about, it's nothing for you to share it. Like if someone's like, help me pick out an outfit, I was like, cool, let's do it. I do it effortlessly, and it's nothing for me to bless you with that. And
right.
So it's just fun.
Yeah. To kind of bring everything together that we talked about just a few minutes ago is, so Catherine had an event a few months ago, and I had Thaddeus come with me to that event. And before Thaddeus got there, I was kind of looking around and kind of like seeing what's going on, kind of filling out the vibe of the room and stuff. And you looking 100% like you always do. I was like, who is that guy? Like, I need to go over him and meet that guy sometime soon. Thaddeus comes in and you guys come over and you're like, hey, what's up? And I was like, I'm so glad that you met that, like, you know, this guy.
He's the icebreaker.
Like, yeah. I was like, this makes it so much easier now. So yeah, that's kind of how everything happened, like for me anyway, meeting you, and kind of how the trifecta worked between all three of you guys.
Yeah. And that's one of the cool things about having like that gift of being able to put a look together, is because people are seeing you, you know.
Yeah.
It's I'm not doing it for attention, but it does bring attention, which is not a bad thing depending on, you know, how you use that gift of attention. But it's cool to be able to do something that people instantly appreciate.
Yeah.
You know, some things that, you know, there are people with a lot of cool gifts, but some of them are, you know, like a teacher, like she may not see the fruits of her labor until she sees a student, or he sees a student all grown up and stuff like that. But it's cool to like know I put this together, instant get some type of reaction. Right. Or like for me too, it makes me memorable. Like, you know, in the business that I'm in, I'm always making connections and things like that. One thing that I bring to the table is when I walk into the room, I'm going to get noticed. And yeah. I'm not saying that cocky. It's like, I just have a gift for that. You know, like if like you guys got a gift for putting this podcast together, I couldn't do that. Right. You know, like, hey, I know what it takes to make this happen. So you're just like taking ownership of that. And so to me, it's just a cool way of just being who I am, but like also willing to share it, but knowing that walking in authority in it. Like, I think right. that's the cool part about it. It's like, yep, I know I look good, not to say that, but I know I can do some cool things and add value to other places. Like whether it's, you know, being with friends on a trip and it's like, right. man, we need to meet some friends. I'm like, all right, I got this, you know, yeah. we'll go there wearing something funky. I'm gonna get some people talking to me and we'll meet some people and yeah. then boom, there we go. We're all having a good time.
Yeah.
I love it.
So with that being said too, it's a God-given gift of yours.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on and something that I'm extremely grateful for personally, but you're not afraid to talk about your faith and your religion and how much God means to you. So that was another reason why I wanted to bring you on. So tell us about your walk with God, your walk with faith, and how it got started, and then we'll build on that.
Man, that's a
loaded question.
Yeah, I mean, it's like where do you really start? But I mean, I have to start with just being in awe and that you would even recognize that in me, because to me, that's the most important thing, like, you know, is pursuing the Lord and sharing the Lord with others, you know, yeah. like, I mean, one time, like, I mean, I believe that Holy Spirit speaks to you mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm going to just share what he shared to me. Cause I just hear his voice. He's like, you know, if you don't share who I am, it's either you don't believe or you're selfish or you're scared, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I mean, because you look at it as anything else, like if someone's like, hey, what's the weather like today? We effortlessly tell them like, hey, it's going to rain. You might want to take a jacket or if your car's broke down, you see someone trying to fix it and you know that they're about to, that shouldn't go there. They're going to mess up. You throw yourself out there. It's like, man, if I truly believe that I serve a good God and that there's a heaven and a hell, I'm an asshole if I don't share that. Yeah. Like, literally, that's what he said. I wasn't going to say it. I don't know if I can talk like that, but literally that's the way I heard it. It's like, if you don't share me, either you don't believe in me or you're an asshole, because I'm keeping something away from someone else yeah. that can bring them joy, that can enhance their life as as powerful as much as I believe that he's my everything. And there's a life after that. Like, I mean, this is much more bigger than what's the weather like,
right?
The weather changes. We're talking about eternity, you know? And as you said, gifts, it's like, those are the things that he's blessed me with. And I want to other people to feel free like I do and yeah. operate in whatever gifts and talents that they have.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's very interesting because I'm like that ghost on social media. Like, I know people and I follow them. Like, you know, I wonder how they know each other. Cause you know, Lee Roberts, but I'm like, how do they know each other? I know her from church. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that to me, that makes the connection is like, you guys probably know each other from like networking, but you also, because you believe in the same similar things or the same thing, that your circle actually overlaps. That makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, I also, for about 3 years, I worked at a church and, man, number one thing in my life is my faith. Number two is just, I love that God put me with the awesome wife. But number three was that season of me working at a church.
Yeah.
Because I just learned so much, because one of the things that I feel like we're totally missing in culture right now is the opportunity just to fellowship with people of different ages.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's not a lot of things that makes a 13-year-old talk to an 82-year-old, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why. But like for me, like I start developing relationships with guys that were 10, 20, 30 years older than me.
Right.
Like one of my best friends, he's 54. Mm-hmm. Like I'm 37. I mean, he's divorced, has a couple kids. Me, I don't have kids. I'm very out there and active. Like we just live totally different lives.
Yeah.
But God brings us together, you know, and the wisdom, the love, like that dude's like my spiritual father. I'm gonna get emotional talking to him. Love you, Eric. But you know, like it helps cross those boundaries, because that's what we need in life. Cause like right now I feel like, you know, maybe some cultures that I'm not a part of, maybe they really honor their elderly, but I don't think in America we really do. And I think the elderly feels inefficient because they don't know how to post anything on Facebook, but who really cares if you could tell me how to save my marriage, you know, how to do my finances and things like that. So that was one thing that was so amazing that when you talk about connecting people in faith, like where I can talk to a complete stranger, but God is the glue. And that's actually what I tell people about marriage. Like, cause me and my wife, we've been together since the 10th grade. We just celebrated 21 years of dating about two weeks ago. And people are like, how? I'm like, man, God's the glue. And God makes me want to just die to myself. Like, you know, we just got another dog and I don't want him. But I love but I love my wife. Like, you know, and it's like, man, I look at him like, you get on my nerves. But you know what? You're making her happy. And I told her every reason that I don't want to want the dog. But I, but ultimately, I was like, but if you want him, I want you to have him. And those are the things that, like, when you look at from the Christian standpoint, when you know that who Jesus is and that he sacrificially died, and my goal is to live like he lived. It's like, how do I sacrifice? Like, I sacrifice by getting a dog I don't want. I sacrifice by showing up to some place on time. I sacrifice by maybe hanging out with someone that I don't really want to, or someone saying something to me and just not saying something back. Like, just dying to yourself, in which that is what makes these relationships gel. Like, you know, because once you start doing that too, you start seeing other things in that person versus what you thought you knew. Or thought you knew it all, or like they just opened up some avenue. Going back to like working with the older, like with older people on staff at the church, you know, like hearing insight from their marriages. Like, I mean, I, at that time, like majority of my friends aren't married. Like, and if they are, like we're all married at the same time, what kind of advice can they really give me? Have they been through the trenches? Have they even seen the trenches yet? And you know, so it's just, that's one thing that I think is really cool, is just connecting people. There's always that spiritual connection in different ways, like, and even experience it in different countries, you know, like it's, we moved to England for a couple of years and the first thing we did was find a church, and just strange things start happening. They're like, you can bring your dog to church. And we're like, why? And they're like, we don't mind. And like, and we started doing it, but like that became like something that was very special to us. Like, cause I didn't want to live in England. Once again, I did it cause my wife wanted to, and God was like, it's a good way to love on her. I was like, 2 years, like the military, you're getting two and two only, you know, but like we find a church and they just welcome us in. They let us bring our dog. Like we, and then like when we would travel, we would never have to board our dog. They would like fight over who gets to watch her. So it's like, just through that connection of people, you find ways of blessing one another, where like there's a running joke when we're living in England too, is like, your dog went to church more Sundays than you, because when we would travel, they would still take our dog to church with them because they all love seeing her and having her there. Mean, I know I went all over it, but I mean, just the connection, man, the connection of people, what it can do. And there's, you know, faith is worldwide. You know, it's doesn't matter. You're in a cold place, hot place, rainy place, snowy place. It's there.
Now it's good you bring that up too, especially with like God being the glue. The most people that know me know I don't get emotional often. I don't cry often, especially in public. I don't really show much in public in general. And one of the times that I got most emotional in front of the most amount of people is when my sister and her now husband were getting married. And of course, being the brother of the bride, I was handed a microphone. And through all of, I've always had a microphone in my hand since 15. So like, I was like, oh, I got this. And I stand up with my microphone and make a few jokes and stuff. And I start talking about, I'm like, you're going to go through tough times. Like, and I've only been married a few years, longer than before she got married. And I was like, you're gonna go through tough times, but the one thing that you always know you're going to come to, and especially knowing both of you, is God is going to be the glue of your marriage. And as soon as I said that, I don't know what came over me, but just tears started pouring out of my eyes. And people were looking at me like, oh my gosh, like he truly believes this, because he never gets emotional. And so just having, I think that was just like a God moment. I wasn't planning on saying that. It just, it came out of my mouth. The tears started coming, and I just, I said what was on my heart to him for that day. So that's one of the main reasons why I believe in God. It's just because like those moments have happened to me more often than not, and at just at the right times.
Yeah. That's, it's like when I was talking about the guy, Eric, earlier, my throat was about to crack, you know, like I'm not an emotional person. But there's certain things that really pull at my heart. And I think the main thing that pulls at my heart is God. Like when I see his grace in my life, the things I don't deserve, the things that make me go, oh, like, you know, like whether I don't deserve to be here, I don't deserve these relationships, just out of humility, not like, like, I don't know, like I'm not special, because I am special. We're all special. Like it's knowing that part. But when you like, you know that there's something greater than any person could have created on this earth that you ended up in that position. And generally too, when it happens to me, it's about others. It's like me thinking about those people and what they've done to me and been to me and what I want for them. It's never like, I mean, I buy something, I'm not going to cry about it. You know, yeah. I mean, there's things that I have. I'm not an emotional guy, but I will when it comes, when there's certain things that tug on my heart that are just very important for that. I know it's of God.
You okay?
Yeah. It went down the wrong pipe.
Right. Oh, it's tough when 136 goes down the wrong pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had that happen.
We were in a serious moment. And then I was like, oh no,
don't lose it.
Yeah.
So because your circle of friends is, I'm assuming most of them are following God and like pretty much a lot of the concepts that you're believing in, correct?
Nope.
Oh, does that bother you at all?
Nope.
I like to point that out because a lot of people assume that like, oh, hey, you know, if you believe in God, that everybody in your circle or the people you have to hang out with all have to have the same beliefs. But I feel like I'm just making a point that TJ is definitely a beacon in his community. So like if you're showing up and you're doing things that gives a good witness and people see that and they're like, okay, so he believes he does this, you know, eventually either they can ask questions or do things, but that also leads into, you know, on top of asking questions about God, it also asks questions about business and work.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic you bring this up now, because just previous, the last episode that we dropped, we brought on a devout atheist. And one of the things that the reason why I brought him on is the one thing that we do agree over is we believe in liberty and freedom of choice and just being able to, like, not the government telling you what to do. So he's running for Senate on the Libertarian ticket. And so the one thing I said the first time I ever felt proud that I voted for someone was Shannon Bray, and he's an atheist. And the reason why I was proud to vote for him is because even though he is an atheist, that he will always fight for me to be a Christian, and that he'll always fight for me to have the liberty to choose that. And I think that speaks a lot to our faith as well, too, because I know we both have probably a majority of friends that either don't believe in God or agnostic or whatnot. And I think one of the callings, at least for me, is live my life to show that I follow these principles and that I have this faith, and not be to show it, but not be overbearing with it, and to kind of show a walk. So I wanted to bring you on as well to kind of hear what your thoughts are. Were on that as well.
Well, you know, I think it starts with, first of all, just being who God created you to be, you know, and where does that lead you? Who does that lead you around? Like, I mean, recall, you know, the Great Commission is to share the gospel, and also Jesus in scripture talks about, you know, it's the sick that needs healing. You know, not that I'm looking down on everyone or anything like that. Like, but hey, I'm quoting scripture. It is what it is. If you don't like it, take it up with God.
Right.
You know, but I am being who God created me to be around any and everyone. And that's what it looks like for me. Because I'm loving on someone, encouraging someone, being there for someone because they're someone.
Yeah.
Like it has nothing to do with because you're a believer. I mean, there's definitely a time for that. And like scripture talks about iron sharpens iron. I need my brotherhood.
Absolutely.
I have a Monday night Bible study with a bunch of guys. Got a Friday morning Bible study with a bunch of guys. But I mean, those aren't even the guys I do life with.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I hang out with any and everyone, you know, and I want to make myself available to be that person and to show it, because I mean, Christians, we got a bad rap. I mean, one thing I just don't like it is it's just a name. Like, yeah. It's just a name. Anyone can put that on a stamp, on a t-shirt, on a bumper sticker, you know, like anyone can put that. But, you know, I want to walk the walk in where I'm at. You know, I'm not telling people they need to be who I am and go out. I mean, I'm a night owl, and I'm up late at night, out late at night, downtown beach bars, and I'll be up at 6 a.m. ready to work out. You know, that's just who I am. I know that's who I'd be even if I didn't know who God was.
Yeah.
But it's like, God has me in places, and I'm just going to glorify him where I'm at in front of who I'm at. Like, I mean, and it's with your gifts and talents, I think, that really bring people over. I can't win anybody over with my words. I mean, unless they're willing to have a conversation.
Right.
And I want to always be that person that's like willing to have a genuine conversation, whether you're atheist, wherever you're at. Like, I love to have it with you. It's awesome. I think that's how you win people over versus me just standing up with the people who are like me holding a sign. Yeah, that's right. Political. It's just not healthy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care what element you put it in. It's not really how doing life is what shows that you actually care. And then I think it's the moment of people ask why. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like, boom, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Like, because Jesus, what he did for all of us. Like, I mean, that's what blows my mind about Christianity more than anything is just, you know, there's a lot of religions and faith out there. But what makes it so special to me is when I think about, you know, if you were God, you know, anybody, like, you had a son, would you bring him to earth? And if you did, would you bring him to earth as the average Joe?
Right.
Like, I mean, and then would you let him, and he's pure, and would you let him be sacrificed? Like, in a brutal way, not like head chopped off, not drowning in the lake, which all those things are brutal, but he went through torture, like, for us. And even in that torture, I mean, like, he wanted off that cross. He didn't want to be there. He asked God before he goes to it. He's like, man, if there's any other way, like, that shows his humanity to me. When he's like, if there's any other way, like, because we're all like, man, if there's any other way we can get around this, that'd be awesome, man. But I'm in awe of that. And to be able to share that with someone is you know, because people, like, what makes your faith different? What makes you truly believer? I'm like, man, because if I'm God, I'm not dealing with y'all.
Yeah.
Like, if you get on my nerves, I'm blowing you up.
Right.
Like, and if I had a kid, I'm not going to let him get down there and get all rustled up with you guys. Imagine, like, who would, like, let your kid go in a room full of rowdy people?
Right.
Like, unprotected. Yeah. Like, who would do that? Like, no one would do that. And then, like, let them die. Like, he could have just took them out of there. Mm-hmm. You know, even Jesus himself said, like, you know, I could have just the angels come and wipe you all out. But, you know, he didn't do that. He walked it out. So that's one of the things, too, that I'm inspired by when I go through hell times. It's like, it brings me back to the crucifixion. No, I have not dealt with anything as brutal, but it lets me know that doing the right thing is not just easy. Like, once you say yes, that could be a journey.
Right.
That could be a couple hours, weeks, years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm in awe of that, of the Savior, Jesus. So,
yeah. No, I agree with all of that. That's kind of how I walk through life myself, is just knowing everything that, like, the God who created the humanity that we have now, to send his only son to be able to go through all of that. And, like, no matter what you believe, there's many different religions that believe that Jesus existed and went on the cross, not just Christianity. A lot of religions, even history that doesn't believe in religion, believes that this man walked the earth and went on a cross. So just knowing that that's the one thing that everyone agrees with, and then being a Christian that knows that that happened and believing, like, he's the Savior, is like, whatever I'm going through is nothing compared to what that was.
Well, I mean, that gives us this, and I'm not trying to play like a bigger card than someone else deals.
Sure.
Like, these are things that, like, I have, like, God has given me wisdom in these tough conversations that I have with people. And that's one thing that I really love about talking about someone who questions my faith, because there are things that I did not think of until you asked me that question. So I'm thanking God for you approaching me with that question, because now I'm equipped with some wisdom. I got something else in my tool belt that I never had, and I would have never had it if you didn't ask me that question. But, you know, one of the things I think about is that person who's hurting, and they're just like, man, my friend suffered from this. My mom's got cancer. Like, look at all the people getting murdered over here and there. And I'm like, that stinks. Absolutely. But go back to Jesus. Like, Jesus went through something really, really brutal. I mean, like I said, like he makes getting shot in the head looks like a vacation.
Yeah.
Make getting your head cut off look like a vacation. And it just gives me that sense of like, man, if my God is willing to do this, you know, I mean, the Bible says we will suffer, you know, and to what level that's here or there, but it talks about we will suffer, you know, but knowing that God put his money where his mouth is with his own own perfect son, like that just has to make you kind of like think, at least it makes me think, even if like when I shared that with someone, even as I'm sharing it now, if it doesn't, if it falls on deaf ears, that's cool, but it's a reminder for me. So even just for me to share that, it's like, man, I may have a rough day at work. My wife may be going through something. I may hate this dog still. Like, I mean, but like, man, God went through the crucifixion. He was perfect and loved me. And so that's my strength to endure hard things is by looking at that cross.
So did you grow up in the Christian, like a Christian family, or is it something you found later in life?
I want to say both, but so, I mean, yeah, you can say I grew up in it, but I guess the reason why I want to answer like that is like, I grew up going to church on Sunday. It's just something you did.
Sure.
Like I remember me and my brother, man, we would show up late cause the music sucked. Right. And then we're fighting over who gets to end view because one of us trying to prop up and go to sleep, you know? And like when you wake up and they just said, amen, you're like, yeah, time to just ride.
Right.
You know? And so, but I mean, I'm thankful for my mom and my dad, man. I'm thankful that they have a faith, and that faith actually made me, as I became more of an adult, grow closer with them. So I grew up in it, but it was like, you know, you go off to college and now the ball's in your court.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mommy can't make you go to church anymore. You know, I still did, but then there was this moment of, and actually it was in a brokenness moment that I really like first time I heard God. I remember the first word I heard from God, and the broken moment was like, I told you, me and my wife been together since the 10th grade. Well, we parted ways like the junior year of high school or college. And it's, you know, everyone's growing up, getting a little bit wilder, don't need you anymore. And that was like, that's why I say like, she's like the second best thing that happened to me. Cause that's when I found God, is when she left me. Like, I couldn't rely on her to do my papers anymore. You know, I couldn't rely on her to like to budget my finances anymore, to book a trip for me anymore. It's like, and it was a weird time too, because like I hadn't been single for a long time. My friends are like, oh my God, TJ's finally single in Atlanta. We gonna do this. And it wasn't me, man. I just was like, nope, I'm just gonna, we'd still come over to my house and hang out. And then they go to the club and I'd just sit there with my dog, smoking my hookah, reading my Bible. Yeah. That was my jam on like Fridays and Saturday nights when my friends would go out. And just through that, I developed a relationship. And I remember the first word I ever heard from God was like, hey, I noticed you dance in the club at all those concerts for other people. Why don't you dance for me at church? And I'm like, ooh, yeah. Music doesn't suck anymore. And like, right. I mean, that was like the first, it was convicting. It was like, man, I do love music. I love getting rowdy and wilding out and jumping around at concerts and singing. And boy, I cannot sing at all.
Yeah.
But I do it like, and so it was like, why don't I do that for God who I love? And then, man, that was a game changer. And that's where like just hearing him and truly pursuing him in that brokenness of not having a girl with me there all the time, that was when I really found out who God was.
Yeah.
And got on the journey to actually pursue him, have a relationship and engage with other people with them. So that's why I say like, you know, I grew up going, but I didn't understand until I was like 22.
Sure. Yeah. That was another question I wanted to ask you too. So you kind of beat me to the punch. So for me, I got baptized when I was like 13 or something like that. Just because like I grew
accidentally squeezed someone's hand.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of how it
works. So like, because they'll say like, squeeze your neighbor's hand.
Right.
Three Mississippi. If you want to get baptized, and you're like, oh, squeeze it, man.
They're like, hey, you've been coming here long enough. How about you do this? And so I did that. And then I went up, because at that point, at 13 and the life that I lived at that point, I hadn't been through any trials or tribulations or anything to actually know what struggle was, to know that there was anything else other. And the more that I grew up and the more trials and tribulations that I went through, at one point I was like, I feel like I got baptized too soon almost. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, now I feel like I know what God is. And then like a few years later passed, I'm like, I didn't know anything that I knew before. So like now I know what God is. So just that road that I was on, did you ever have something similar to that where it felt like you were not just growing with God, but feeling like you're like hitting, this is a horrible term, but lack of a better term, just kind of like hitting new levels.
Absolutely. But, like, I don't know, man, I tell everyone, man, like if if you're not growing, you're dying, man. Like, yeah. and that's in everything. And that's the cool thing about me. It's like, I'll see these things in like, you know, your workout, or see like, you know, how the Avengers work together. I think of the body of Christ, like God is in everything. The devil is just manipulating it, you know, or perverting it more so. But yeah, that's another word that God, I mean, if you can't look back like in 5 years and not see yourself as a better person, like whether it's in like, take faith out of it.
Yeah.
But faith is, to me, is the number one thing about it. But if you don't see yourself as a better dad, as a better coworker, as a better friend, as a better whatever hobby you have, if you're not better at that in the next 5 years, like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, do you really care? Do you really love? But yeah, I mean, that thing is like, you learn so much about God, and all you realize is you learn how much you don't know. So that to me was that next level, is where you, when you look back, you're like, man, I thought I had this all figured out. You know, I would even say I was convicted. I remember reading Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love. Mm-hmm. Like, have you guys ever read that?
I have, yeah.
I have not.
Man, there's a part where he's like, you know, would you want to see Jesus? Would it bother you if you got to heaven and Jesus wasn't there? And at that time, I was like, no, man, because I'm in heaven, it's heaven. But then, like, as it goes on, you think about it, it's like, man, I've been praying and worshiping. There, God owes me that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that actually came up with me and my counselor, and I actually brought it up in one of my Bible studies. Like, what is the one thing that God owes you? And everyone's like, whoa. And like, but instantly I heard it. It was like, he owes you his word. That's the only thing I believe that God owes us, is to be true to the words that he has spoken. So if I got to heaven and Jesus wasn't there, God's a liar, and I really didn't care about Jesus. Like, I mean, it's like, you, once again, give it to a little kid. You know, we're getting pizza when we get home. Man, you better have pizza when you get home, you know. And so that growth, that hunger, like, it becomes real. I mean, you know, there's a faith. It's faith. We have to, we're operating off of faith. We're not going to see it all the time, but we got to know that it's there. But there's that part where I want to see Jesus. And so with that being said, like, I got to that moment. It was like, man, I even think that before, like that time before when me and Libby were still together and I really wasn't pursuing God, I don't know if I would have technically went to heaven, because I don't think I really loved Jesus. It wasn't until I was convicted. I cried that night, I think, when I read that too, because it was like, you know, and scripture talks about that. It's like, a lot of people will do things in my name, and I'll be like, I never knew you. And I was like, man, I don't think I knew him then. And so it's like, there's a different, that was a totally different level. That was, I think like that was me actually, all right, now the game has finally started.
Right.
Like everything else I heard about, saw about, thought about, got around it, but like, no, I'm actually in the game now.
Yeah. One of the other things I wanted to bring up too is, so I told you just before the podcast, but now that we're on it, is right. Pretty close to every morning, you're posting a Bible verse, literally religiously. And
oh man, you're gonna put me in the religious gallery.
Sorry,
but, aggressive. Yeah. Get behind it, it is.
But like, even there was a time that I asked for you to come on the podcast, and you were on vacation. Even when you were on vacation, you were still posting that Bible verse. What makes you get up every morning and want to post that? Because I'm sure there's some mornings that you're like, man, I just don't want to, and you do it anyway, or it doesn't matter, but you do it anyway. What's the driving factor behind that?
Honestly, it's default.
Yeah.
Like, I wake up and I spend time with God intentionally, and I feel like that's an effortless way that I can share. Like, I mean, to be real, like, we all are gifted and have our areas of influence. I won't label myself as an influencer, but I know the things that I post get out there and it gets noticed and things like that. And it's just like, shouldn't that be my ministry? Like, when you look at scripture, you know, like, I mean, he's sending people out. People had jobs, tent makers, fishermen and stuff like that. And it's like, shouldn't that be where you're sharing the gospel? And it's different. It's because I post so much. It's like, why aren't you posting about me, who you truly love? You love that more than cooking. You love that more than your goat. You love me more than being on the boat every weekend, because I am. Like, I mean, and I'm just personally convicted that way, but not convicted in a shameful way. It's like, man, it cost me nothing. But to hear you, to notice that you noticed that, because I don't get responses. I don't even get likes all the time for it. But to know that it's affecting people, man, it's like, God's all about that one.
Yeah,
and it's about planting seeds, like the parables of the seeds. You know, some fall on fertile soil, some get burned up in the sun. You know, some don't, like birds carried away. And it's like, you know what? This is a way I can plant seeds. I can let people know that I love the Lord and I'm here. Or like, maybe I'm not even, you know, if it encourages you, I'm so thankful. There's probably people who it's blessed and I've never got a response from, which is totally cool. This is just me operating in my arena, but bringing God to it.
Yeah. I definitely appreciate it every morning, because even if I forget about it, just because I click on you so often, you're one of the first people that, like, when I go through stories, you're there. So if I forget about it, or I'm getting too busy in my day, I see your story and it means a lot to me. That's the moment, if nothing else, that I'm like, you know what? Slow down, read this. What does it mean? So I appreciate it more than you'll ever know.
Dude, I really, really genuinely appreciate it, because you, like, literally, because as I say that I'm doing it effortlessly, I really don't, I'm not really expecting a return on my investment.
Right.
I'm not. Like, so to know that it's helping people, like, man, that was what makes me keep doing it. But still, I'd be lying if I told you that's going to motivate me, because I was doing it off of just, this is who I am. I'm just going to be. And I think that, like, when you're just being who you are, and that's another thing I've talked to my counselor. I guess he's my counselor. I don't know. He's a cool dude, man. And we talk about God all the time. Like, that's the only way I'm going to let someone speak in my life that deeply. But he's like, you know, when you're being who you are, it does not drain you. Like, so I'm waking up and spending time with God, and I'm on social media. Yeah. So it's not draining for me to do that. Like, you know, when you're doing something like, I got stuck on jury duty for 3 weeks. I was freaking miserable. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was like when I would get home, I just didn't want to talk to people. And I always want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. It's like when you do something that you were created, designed to do, you're not worn out by, you just keep running with it. You know, it's when you put yourself in a situation and try to be something you're not. Not saying that sometimes we have to do that. Like, if you guys said, hey guys, I need TJ afterwards, you're going to have to help me clean up. I can do it. But if you said, TJ, come here every day and help me clean up, I'm like, ooh, no, you know, that would drain me.
Yeah.
But so it's like what I'm doing with posting that is just like, I'm just being who I am and inviting the Lord to be a part of it.
Yeah. It reminds, like, I was thinking, I work with watches all the time, and there's a lot of brands that make solar powered watches or like light driven of some sort.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it reminds me of you, because their job is just to take a little bit of light, and as long as they're in some sort of light, they're just going to keep going and just keep going and just keep going, putting out energy, but it doesn't make them weaker or less effective. And then they're storing up that energy. And then if they have to sit in someplace dark or like a box or in a room or someplace with no light, they're still going to be putting out energy. Is it what they want to do? No, because they were made to work in sunlight, but they're still going to keep doing it. And to me, that's kind of like what you're doing, is you're, as long as you're doing what your energy is projected towards, which is being out there in the community, talking to people, talking about Christ, talking about the Lord, that's what you like to do. You don't feel like you're being drained of energy.
Yeah. I think one thing that I want to kind of go back on what you just said, as far as like talking about Christ, like, and the only reason I want to separate it, because I'm not a pastor. It's not, I'm not going out to preach to people.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm just going out and having conversation. And if you ask me what I did on Sunday, I'll tell you I went to church. And if you ask me why my marriage is good, I'm blaming on God. Like, I mean, it's literally just giving God credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
And just doing life with people, because I mean, scripture talks about, I mean, we're light in the dark place. I mean, people know, they know, they may not be able to articulate it and pinpoint it, but there's something different about someone who just has this joy of the Lord in them, you know? And so it's really, I just want to say that, cause I don't know what people are going to think when they hear this or whatever the case may be. It's like, I'm not a street evangelist or anything like that. I'm just a guy that loves people, loves hanging out, loves to entertain, like. And within that, if you ask me why, I'm like, man, God created me this way and I'm going to give him the glory for it. You know?
Yeah. You know, that brings up a good point. That kind of connects a lot of things for me too. Just hearing that, because it's very similar to you. Like, I'm not going out like Bible beating or anything like that, just being a street evangelist. But during those dark times, I always try to find light somewhere. And I always, in for me anyway, I see that light through the Lord, or he's bringing me through something for a reason. So no matter what darkness I'm going through, I'm going to go through it with a smile, especially out in public, because I know there's light at the end of that tunnel. And I think that's the way that I have brought more people to Christ, not showing them a Bible or pointing out verses through them because they wanted it or not, but just because of the way that I carry myself through those dark times. And that kind of connected those pieces together for me of like kind of how I was able to bring up those conversations.
Yeah. And just like what I want to say to you in relation to what you just said, I believe like you spending time with the Lord in the past is what gave you the ability to be what you were in that dark time. Kind of going back to like how you're giving the example, Chris, of the watch.
Yep.
You know, that watch is taking that light in when it can and using a little bit of energy, and probably has to use a lot more, but had it on reserve. You know, that's why going back to like, yeah, I go to church on Sunday, but I also have this morning time with God. I have these small groups with a couple other guys. It charges me up. So I can be around a bunch of non-believers, but I got a lot, like I've been spending time with God. It's like that reserve that I think is happening in your life. And even if it's not something that you're doing weekly, but you know, you realize, I mean, I think what the enemy tries to do, like when you go through a rough time, is he tries to make it all about you. What happens is like when you have been spending time loving on others and you know that God is good, you can look in a bad situation and be like, you know what? I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I don't know what's going on, but God, what do you want to show me? And that's the moment where you redeem it. You know, like one example I give is like my mom dying, like sucked. My mom died like right before COVID, like 2020. So fairly recent. And I'll tell you what, like I know how to love on someone whose mom died. Like I literally had a friend whose dad died a couple months after that, or maybe it was a year or so. COVID times, no one knows when was when. You know, but, you know, I went to her funeral, her dad's funeral during the week. She was a little bit hurt that other friends weren't at her funeral, her dad's funeral. And I get that. And, you know, the general thing was just like they were busy. They had to work. It was during the week. And I told her, I was like, I want to say I'm sorry, because the only reason I'm here right now is because my mom died. And I know what it's like to lose someone. And I know what it's like for your friends to love on you when you lose someone. Like I had a friend, man, he's got such a great heart, and he's not a believer, but this dude's got such a great heart. He flew out to Auburn, Alabama to my mom's funeral when she died. And I'm like, I didn't think that was an option. I would not have thought that. Like, and so going back to my friend, I was like, I want to say I'm sorry, because the only reason I'm here is because I know, and I wasn't there out of shame, but God showed me how to love on someone. God showed me that work could wait. Because my friend showed me that. That was the beauty. It was like my friend showed me how to love on someone whose mom died or parent died. And I did not have that gift until my mom died. And so what Satan, the enemy, wants to do is be like, oh, it's over. I only got one mom. I don't get another one. You got a mom. Where's my mom? You need to be happy. All these other things that are making it about me. But when I like let God say, hey, what do you want to show me? It's like, TJ, I want to show you how to love on someone whose mom died. Wow. Let me show you that. And then, boy, like, it just makes me like, that's where I get emotional.
Yeah.
Because it's about God and it's about others. Yep. Like, so, I mean, that's the power of just being able to take authority of situations where you're walking through that with darkness, Tyler. Like, you're walking through that darkness with light. Like, you have built up something to be a blessing to other people.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing, bro.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
No problem. Oh, everyone needs a sip.
Yeah.
So I have to throw in my random question because we got real deep.
Yeah.
In every podcast, I always ask, I have to ask something silly just to like bring
watch
it up
out. I might make it go deep again. You never know. God gave me a word about this. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. So, I mean, did you take the fact that your wife is like, yo, I want to move to the beach? Was that the reason why you wanted a boat? You're right. I see you on the boat every weekend, and I'm just like, man, it sucks being in retail because I got to sit here in the store.
You know, that's the reason why, like, you know, people got to understand, man, social media is so deceptive. deceptive social media is? Mm-hmm. I don't even own a boat, bro. I do not own a boat. I've never owned a boat ever in my life.
You're a smart one.
So, yeah. No, man. I'm very fortunate to just have really great friends that we all love the same thing. We're pretty welcoming. And there's like a kind of this little hidden beach community of boaters in Wilmington. And the only reason why it's hidden because you got to have a boat to get there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like there's a lot of these cool islands that are diamonds in the rough, but we just love being on the water. But I do not own a boat at all. But man, you would think I would. Like, but actually, I will never own a boat as long as I got great friends. Because the thing is, like, even if I bought one, it'd be like, all right, guys, where are we going? So all I'm doing is wasting gas and paying money for a slip, which you can't even find. Like,
it's ridiculous.
Just to go meet up at the same place we were going to go anyway. Like, what's the point? But man, I'm so thankful for my friends who put up with me out there.
That's what I've always said too. I was like, why own a boat if you have friends that own a boat?
Not for me. I mean, I add value other ways. I got a home gym. I let my friends come over in the neighborhood. Like, hey, you guys can use my home gym.
Yeah.
Feed the goat on the way out. I feel like, can I come for a ride on the boat now?
Yes. I mean, it's that seesaw, the balance.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
I know. Facebook will make you think.
Well, staying on that level too. I know working out's important to you as well. Because that was something that when Thaddeus introduced me to you, is he was like, hey, I go work out at his home gym over here.
Yeah.
And so tell me what brought on that. What made working out so important to you?
I mean, I've always been active and I just never lost it. I just kind of kept it going. And for me, I think, you know, one thing that I was fortunate about is I learned how to work out in college. Like, I mean, you did the sports and stuff, but actually like weightlifting and stuff like that. I learned how to do it at college and I did it at a friend's house.
Okay.
So for me, that's where it all started. And that's where it kind of stayed. Like, I mean, I just had this mindset of like, okay, just bring weights to your house.
Right.
Go outside and run. I don't know. I'll say I'm a natural runner. And that's not for everyone. But as far as like taking ownership of it, it's like, for me, there's no excuses when it's at your house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't be like, oh, it's raining. Oh, I forgot my gloves. It's, like, oh, it's right there.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, all you got to do is walk across the yard. We got this. I got my little outside shed. I call it the danger room. Mm. Got a lot of free weights, row machine, punching bags, stuff like that. But it's just taking ownership of that. Like, and you know, I'm going to go deep now. Cause I mean, that's one of the things I learned about COVID. Is the more things you have ownership of, the less someone can take it away. I mean, like tyrants can do it, but you know, just in your own personal life, like the gym, like all the gyms shut down, but it's like, whoa, I got my own home gym. Mm-hmm. Like I was working out 3 times a day because no one was going to work. I work out in the morning like I always do. I'm bored at lunch. Ain't nothing to do. All the bars are closed and restaurants at night. Just go back and work out again. Like, and going back to like my faith, my Bible study, my small groups, they shut down the church. I was still waking up, spending time with God, still hanging out with my guys on Monday nights and Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where also I developed the gift of just the passion for cooking. It's like, you know, if I take ownership of the activities that I want, they can't be taken away from me. And that's why I think it's a powerful thing. And I mean, if there's other than my faith, that's one thing that's been really passionate on my heart for people. It's like, I don't know what that looks like for you. That can look like anything, but just take over your own joy. No. Whatever it is, don't make it be circumstantial with the weather, with the people you're around. Like, I mean, yeah, those things are good in certain elements, but overall, like, can you stand on your own and just take ownership of something that you truly truly love,
mm-hmm.
and you will remain joyful.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's amazing that you were able to find that kind of on your own too, because for me, we talk about this probably too much on the podcast, but Andy Priscilla needs to pay me, I feel. But so 75 Hard was my introduction to that. Ooh. Yeah, I did. And so very similar. So 2 workouts a day, rain or shine, one of them has to be outside. Like, sucks to suck if it's pouring out and lightning. Have fun. And then
you don't live in Nebraska, bro. Just take it.
Right. Yeah. That was the point too. So, I mean, Andy Frisella lives in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I've been there in January, which is not fun. So I'm like, if he's running in the snow up to his knees,
I can 40 and raining real, it's miserable.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, I did it during the summer too. So it was like, it's 70 degrees and raining and lightning. I'll be fine. Like, it'll be okay. But that was kind of my catalyst to kind of realize what you already started, is that I couldn't go to a gym during that time. It was during COVID as well too, when I did 75 hard. So the one thing you could do is you could order weights from Dick's Sporting Goods. So I ordered a bunch
early
of
on. For,
yeah, early on.
That ran out quick.
Yeah, yeah. So early on, I went, ordered that, brought them in, and made my own little gym in there. I already had like a heavy bag in the garage. And just got after it that way. Part of it too was reading 10 pages a day. A part of it that I wanted for myself was to spend time with God and kind of read his word. So that was part of it too. And I learned the same thing that you just said, is that if you take ownership and you bring it to yourself and you make that bubble for yourself, no one can take that from you. So that's extremely valuable and props.
I think it is. I mean, that was a question that was asked to me too. Is like, what would you have done different during COVID? And it's like, I'm not bragging on myself. I don't think there's nothing that I've done different, but what I learned, like, man,
yeah.
Like what I learned is what you own, man. Like what, like even like our friend groups, when you're talking about the boating stuff, mm-hmm. like, and I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier, why I haven't been to the Cargo District. Cause I love my neighborhood, man. Yeah. Like we capitalize of just doing life together. Like, and I even bring up the cooking thing, because cooking became this way of facilitating conversation and hanging out. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was about the cooking or the grilling and stuff like that. But then I realized, man, this is the way for me to invite people over. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris, so maybe if you'll come out of your house for a little bit, you know, if I invite you over for food.
I mean, I've seen some of those.
I was going to say those grill meals that you've been making.
Dude, like it becomes like, it's a form of art. Like I'll tell you, like when I display it though, that's kind of my thing. That goes back to the fashion thing. But really what's happening behind the scenes that people will ever see, majority of the time, when I'm cooking, there's somebody else at my house.
Oh, wow.
It's hardly ever just me and my wife, like hardly ever. Yeah. So it becomes this thing. And I actually called myself on one of my posts one time about that. It's like, I always show off the food when I should be showing off my friends. I just don't know. I don't ever want to put people on there who don't want to be on there and stuff like that. But it's about that experience that I'm creating to create something that brings everyone together. And, you know, I'm giving, like it's a fun thing about that. But yeah, like that ownership of like, I'm owning my own fun right now. I'm owning my own joy. And it doesn't look like, have to look like, that's one thing I'm really big on too, is like, doesn't have to look like what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that like, you know, you got a family of seven and you guys just love to go for a walk at 7 o'clock every night. Yep. That's your jam. Like own that walk with your family, own that time and saying like rain, sleep, snow, whatever, we're going to do this together. And we're going to have a good time. And that looks totally different from my life. I don't have kids at all. And I hate going for walks. My wife knows I am not. That's why I let her get that dog. Cause I am not walking. Like, I mean, we can run it any day, but we are not walking.
For some reason, that slow pace just makes it.
I just don't like getting sweaty for no reason. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I don't mind sweating if I'm burning calories, but if I'm just like sweating because I'm, I mean, like, no, dude, it's like we can couch that real quick.
Yeah.
You know, I'll find something else to do. Now I just need the heart rate up if I'm sweating.
Yeah. I'm the same way too. Yeah. If I'm just sweating because I'm just sitting sweating, I hate it. But if I'm out like in the garage with the door shut and it's like a million degrees in there and humid as like hell, then like I'm all about it. Like sweat it up all the time. Yeah.
Speaking of your gym, then, so what's the name of your gym?
You know, I haven't named it.
You got to name it. You
got to
name it.
I would say now that you mention it, I got to find a name for it.
Never thought about
that.
You got to
name it. You got everything. Me, everything has to have a name. It's just more fun that way. Like I name all my guns. Yeah. Like, you know, I name my gym and everyone who comes to my gym, they have to put their code name on the wall. Like it's like,
that's awesome.
So the name of my gym is the Danger Room.
Yeah.
So it's like named after like the X-Men where they were trained. So everyone has to put, like it says, sign in with your code name under it. So
that's sick.
It's pretty cool. Everyone just like has their, and actually somebody was working out me this morning. They were like, I forgot. They're like, who's Silent Assassin? I was like, can't tell you, you know, can't tell you.
You only know if they come in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, their names stay up there and stuff like that, but it's just kind of a fun little, just, hey, we're going to the Danger Room. And even my friends will text me, you mind if I come to the Danger Room? I was like, go for it.
That's a good point. I mean, like, my guns have names too. My car has a name. I mean, like, good point. Why doesn't my gym have a name?
Gym.
So. So I do have, because you brought up the Danger Room, what was your favorite X-Men?
X-Men character?
Yeah.
Ah, man. I think if you take me to the cartoons, because I didn't really grow up watching comic books, but I grew up like watching the Saturday morning cartoons. I just love Gambit.
Thank you.
He was just a cool dude, man. He just had, I mean, like me being the fashion, the dude like had a trench coat. Like, he just had that swag about him, you know, like just that Cajun accent you never heard. That dude was just smooth. I was like, man, we need more Gambits everywhere. Like,
no, he was my second favorite.
We need to have HP do a commission for TJ.
I feel like he hasn't done a Gambit yet. He did Storm.
Yeah.
Cyclops, Wolverine. I don't think he's done Gambit.
See, that's why you picked Gambit. Yep, that wild card.
Yeah.
Pun was intended.
Yeah. You didn't get it well. No.
So who's your number one then, Chris?
Oh, mine's Storm.
Storm?
I mean.
Fair enough. I mean, I wish I could be Storm, too, if I can make every day a sunny day. Yeah. Help you farmers out. I'll make it rain Monday through Friday. Right. Friday at 3.
That's it.
No. Yeah. I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, I have to throw in that random pop.
Random pop.
But yeah, Gambit was my second favorite.
I didn't like, yeah, like from the comic book side, though, I don't, because I didn't read a lot of comic books, and I don't think he got a lot of comic book play, but like, yeah. I mean, but then still, you know, I'm like that. I'm just aggressive. So I like that Wolverine, dude. Like, I'm just such an aggressive guy. Like, that's just my, I mean, I'm not aggressive, obviously, towards people and stuff like that, but knowing how to turn that on when you have to, mm-hmm. like, I mean, that's what makes my workouts fun. Like, you know, just getting there, getting it done, and then you come back and relax, and just even too, like, if someone's out of line, like, you know, it's not about like fighting, but sometimes you just got to set the tone, let people know this is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And we're good. All right, cool. Let's move on, you know?
I don't know how much you know about Jordan Peterson, but that was something that he said not long ago, too.
I haven't heard that one. I know. I watched some of his clips and stuff.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
Yeah. So one of his big things is, like, the definition of a man is just being, right?
Yeah,
is having that aggression inside of you, but having it, using it, and knowing it as a confidence that you don't need to use it. But it's there. That's why you don't need to be aggressive during your everyday kind of walk of life. But knowing that you have it inside of you is kind of what makes you who you are.
Yeah, it's being mature, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of things that we're seeing. It's like, I don't know, I'm calling it out, man. I think we're I don't know where the man has gone. Like, you know, right. Like someone being a real man. And like, you know, I saw it in myself when I was on jury duty. Like when I got elected to be foreman, you know, that's the person who's got to stand up and say, hey, we the people call this person guilty and stuff. And that was rough, man. I was on a criminal trial for 3 weeks. And I started just being my social self. I was just talking to everyone. And so I saw this coming. I knew I was going to get picked for it. And I did not want to do it. I didn't. I actually felt nauseous in my stomach. And I don't have too many of those where I feel nauseous. Like,
right.
You know, I got things I just get mad and I hate, don't want to do. But I knew it was an opportunity to be a man. Like mm-hmm. I'm in this room with 12 or 11 other jurors, and you know, you got like 9 women and 3 dudes, you know, one guy's older, a guy's kind of young and timid, like, you know, nothing against either one of those, but you look at the situations like, I got to do it, you know? And the thing about even being a man, it's like, it sucks sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, it's not about like, oh yeah, I'm the man. I just incredible Hulk the mess out of this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, man, I went down with the ship. Well, I'm willing to go down with the ship if it goes down. Mm-hmm. You know, because I no woman wants to stand up there and look at someone who's convicted of murder and say that, you know, like, and you just got to do manly stuff sometimes. And sometimes it's taken for the team. You might be quivering on the inside, but on the outside, you just step up to the plate and do what needs to be done and learn from it, move on, share it, you know. But I think it's really important to be a man nowadays, because I think that's what we're missing out on. Because part of it, too, is just like being able to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like men don't fight, like men don't throw things at people. Men don't call each other names just cause. I mean, we have our immature moments. We all do.
Sure.
But being like, hey, I'm going to take a step back. And what do we have to do to solve this? Talk this out. Like even sometimes you do have to die to yourself, and that's just what it is. Like, you know, with being married, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know that like sometimes like, you know what? The most manliest thing I can do right now is shut the hell up.
Yeah, like, you got that right.
and that has been a huge blessing in my marriage. Probably why, like, I mean, I may be talking a lot now because I think that's kind of the reason why you have me there. But, mm-hmm. you know, it makes me learn, like, not to cut people off. Like, my wife went through a tragic moment at one time, and she was just blah, 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 just yelling at me all the time. And just, like, in that moment, she definitely had her reasons to yell because she was going through a traumatic time.
Yeah.
But I swear, like, once again, how God shows you stuff in your tragedy, like, she taught me how to listen. Mm. Like, I know now how, like, the same way, like, you might get comfortable because you're about to watch something and you relax. Like, I feel my brain actually turning to a certain posture when I'm really, truly listening. And I love that I learned that. Like, I learned how to just shut up and take it in. Like, in that's sometimes what you got to do as a man. Like, you don't need to make it about you. You may think that person is wrong. You may even agree with that person. That's one of the things I learned through jury duty. There's like three other people I was equally as passionate about. But I just knew that, like, okay, if we wanted everyone to have their say, not feel bullied, they're already saying what I agree on. So we don't need three people, especially the person leading the ship,
right,
to be that person. Like, I'm just going to be quiet, mm-hmm, let other people talk. And if I talk, I'm going to encourage other people to share their perspectives, because it was so valuable. It was so, like, one person was a teacher, very loving. This other girl, like, she was younger, just freaking, she was like a stenographer. We had to go back to her notes to figure out what was going on. Like, cause I mean, it's 3 weeks. It was a lot. It's like, mm-hmm, just imagine a CSI episode, like,
gosh,
like 3 weeks long, trying to put it all together and tell your friends about it. It's heavy, but you learn just how to take authority. And sometimes, even though I say take authority, it's dying to yourself. It's listening. It's saying, okay, I've heard you. Now let's make a decision. Mm-hmm. Like, really, like when the time is right, you man up and you go.
Yeah.
And so I think being a man is so important, man.
Absolutely. Agreed. And actually, with all of that being said, it leads into my last question of the night. If you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
This is always a hard one.
It's not a question that comes up often.
This is going to sound like I'm bragging, but it's like, you know, being a man is me shutting up right now and just trying to, like, you know, give you what my heart really says versus, cause I'm really good at talking. Like, I'm I can fly off the mouth like crazy and I'm good at it. Like, come up with some stuff, but
yeah,
like, I'm just going to say what's on my heart right now. I can't say this like sums up who TJ is, but the season that I'm in is just dealing with deception. Mm. You know, I think deception is, like, it's at its worst, you know? So, you know, me looking back on, like, what have I been deceived from? Like, and those things you can't fully control, because as you do life, you mature. You know, you get exposed to more. You get your bumps and your bruises.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I'm really concerned about deception right now. Like, I think that that's what causes division.
Yeah.
You know, like, because what I see, the lack of deception is you talking about your atheist friend. Mm-hmm. It's like, we can look at each other as people, as, you know, as that we want, we may not be on the same page, but we care.
Right.
There's a common bond. And even if I don't like where you are, it doesn't mean I don't like you. Like, mm-hmm, you know, or if I don't like what you do, or what you say. And so there's a lot of deception. And I'm not even just talking about with people, man. Like, I'll tell you one time, like, I was praying and I was like, God, I want to know what's more going on in the spiritual. And I don't think I can handle some of that stuff. Like, I mean, you read Revelation, there's a lot of heavy stuff. And I don't think, like, I mean, like, I've never been that guy that can watch a scary movie. Mm-hmm. Never. Like, I mean, I can't. People who can do that, like, that will keep me up. I'll tell you what, I'm not manly there when it comes to scary movies. Or if you got an animal in your house, like, I'm not dealing with it unless I can shoot it. But, like, I really had a friend, like, she was like, oh, teacher, I have something in my attic. And I was going to call you to come over. I'm like, you got the wrong one, girl. I wouldn't even do that for my wife. And I love her. Like, she knows good and well. It's like, if I can't shoot it, we are not touching it. We ain't doing nothing. But, like, so going back to that, like, I was praying to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I just want to know what's going on in the spiritual. And one day I was just sitting in a bar and just, I'll start looking at logos and just different things. And it was like, pretty much what God was saying was like, it's a lot of it's right in front of you. It's not this demon or wicked thing in the background. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that showed me that blew my mind was I was looking at the iPhone and the fact that it was a bitten apple. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think about the garden.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how long has that been, like, right in front of my face? And then the fact that we call it an iPhone, like, the enemy wants you to make everything about you. I, and just how just, you know, these are things that they may be subtle, but the enemy's subtle.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just don't know how much I've been deceived, you know, and I don't feel convicted by it at all. I'm glad that I have the wisdom now and you walk that out, but there's some things that have been in front of us.
Yeah.
Like that, like I even heard somebody go down at the other path, like, television, like, it's telling you something. Mm-hmm. Channels, it's taking you somewhere, you know, like, and it was like, how many of these things have I just been deceived? Like, even like I've been on this too. It's like rap music, man. Like, it's the most damaging thing that we can feed the youth. And I'm not gonna lie, I love it, man. When I was getting that Danger Room, T.I. Pandora play.
Yeah.
You know, but I just know where I'm at in life and like being a man. I can compartmentalize that as entertainment. Mm-hmm. I can use it for what it's worth to get me through this workout. And I guarantee you, as soon as I'm done working out, Jesus Culture Pandora.
Yeah.
Like, I need that to get me through the stretching because I hate that.
True.
Like, but it's like, you know, we don't ever address, like, to me, rap music, you have an adolescent kid that may not have a mom and dad in his life growing up on that. That is as bad as feeding your kid McDonald's every day and wondering why he's fat. You know, like it's damaging. And like, and I grew up listening to that and like what thoughts and mindsets that I have made that have deceived me of like the things that even now I want today in life. Like, is it because I grew up watching rap videos and stuff like that? You know, God actually redeems and I'm more of a mature person, but just that level is like no one really addresses rap music. Like that stuff is not healthy for you as a kid. And maybe even as an adult, depending on where you're at in life, you know? So I know I kind of went around the block and stuff like that, but it all grows legs.
No, that was perfect. Works. Cause we are coming up at the end of our day. I just want to say thank you, TJ, for coming on.
Appreciate it.
I know it's been a struggle trying to match up schedules with everybody because you are a very busy man. But is there any spot that our listeners can reach out to you on like social media or anything you want to plug?
I mean, if you feel the need to reach out to me, I really don't think that I'm that special. And like, I mean, on Instagram, I'm TJ Dunn. I'm TJDUNN. I just like to thank you guys for having me out. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like I had no expectation of this. This is a different thing for me, but I really enjoyed it. And I'm honored that you guys seek me in that way and wanted me to be here. And
absolutely.
And I hope that I added value to your podcast.
Oh, for sure.
Certainly did.
Yes. Everyone, I always laugh because, you know, every week we do something and we ask different people. And I feel like I gain wisdom, not just because I look up stuff about whiskey, but from each person's perspective, it helps me like add another book to my library so I can like learn. I'm like, okay, so I should be thinking like this or thinking like that. And you've definitely added more than one
certainly
step to my library. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening to us. I hope you gained some wisdom, especially like I did. If you guys want to support us, drop a like on the socials at Whiskey and Wisdom. If you want to leave a nice review on the Apple Store or the Apple Podcast channel, you know, we would love that. If you don't want to leave anything nice, don't do it. Because that's what my mama said. Ain't got nothing nice to say. Don't say it at all.
She also said, knock you out.
True that.
Also, you know, we've linked up with a few people. Bones and
Race.
Yeah. So if you use the code WISDOM, they will save you quite a bit of money, in my perception. And they will actually ship you different things. Bones Coffee, local coffee shop. They're roastery, I guess.
Yeah.
That'll ship you different flavors straight to your door. And Raise Energy, pretty much the only energy drink Tyler can drink without catching a migraine. But yeah, code WISDOM saves you a little bit of money. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you, TJ, for coming on.
I appreciate it. It was an honor.
Greatly appreciate you coming on. Glad we could finally pin you down.
Absolutely.
Cheers.